Welcome, friends, to the Life on Purpose podcast. I'm so excited to start my third season with you. This year, we are focusing on the word confidence, how to get more of it, and where we are currently seeking it. The goal is to bring you some incredible conversations that will provide you with newfound wisdom, guidance, and resources. And on this third season of Life on Purpose podcast, we want to keep you inspired and remind you that everything you are looking for is on the other side of fear. It is my privilege, as always, to be a part of your journey to living with courage, hope, and confidence this year. In the beginning, we all know to living with confidence starts with recognizing what is keeping us stuck. And for a fun, quick way to get started, hop over to my website at amydebrick.com and take my quiz, Are You Stuck in Your Comfort Zone? You can also access other free resources while you're there or grab a copy of my book, Embolden. Enjoy. This morning on the Life on Purpose podcast, I have the privilege of having on inspirational and international podcaster, speaker, and author, Cody Byrne. So welcome, Cody.
Oh, thank you, Amy. So happy to be here.
Well, before we really dig in on scar release and all of that, can you give the listeners just a little bit of a background story on what we're going to be talking about today?
Yeah, basically, you know, my purpose and mission as a speaker and what I believe I'm here on this earth to do is, number one, proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. But aside from that, it's helping people break free from yesterday's troubles. And no matter how troublesome they may be, know that there is a life worth living and there is going to be a better tomorrow. It's all a matter of how we play the cards that life deals us. And so for me, my background comes from a small town in Indiana. I now live here in Tampa, Florida. And growing up in a small community, I had a wild imagination. But at a young age, I fell in love with an interesting skill that many think it's unusual, but I love juggling. And that all sparked from my parents taking me to the circus as a little boy. And I fell in love with it, taught myself how to juggle. A couple years later, I would go to a children's camp. And like most kids' camps, there's activities during the day, a lot of fun stuff. But at night, there was a special camp speaker. And this camp speaker also had a special skill to go along with his message. And it was juggling. And so instantly, it grabbed my attention. And I seen how he was up on the platform incorporating the skills and the message together. But I seen that this man wasn't on the platform for self-glorification, but he was up there to really give us kids a message of hope and a value. And something on the inside of me in that moment said that this is what you're called to do. And so all through my young years, I pursued that vision of wanting to help encourage people, young and old, give the message of Christ. Let them know that no matter what life brings them, there is going to be a better tomorrow. And I did that by using juggling and comedy. And so I was passionate about those things. And after high school, I went to Rockford, Illinois, to a ministry school, got my pastoral credentials, became a children's pastor. And at the same time of teaching children, I got to travel the country and speak at kids' camps and conferences. And the very thing that I seen the speaker up on the platform doing as a little boy, I was now doing. And I did all of that right up until the age of 23, and then my life took a sudden shift. But I will pause there and let you ask, because I can rattle on about that.
Well, I mean, first of all, let me just say, one of the things just right off the top, before we get into your story at 23, that I love is that the idea that, you know, somebody else's actions as a young child made such an impression on you that that's really what helped you to want to share the love of Christ. And so one of the things that I always think is, and I just heard this the other day from a pastor friend of mine, is like, when you're spreading, you know, the love of Christ and to others, use your words last. And so I love the juggling component to that, because it's like there were other things that drew you in initially to say, you know, what does that person have? And I want it, because I want to be able to be that person to somebody else, that light to somebody else. And when you saw that, it almost made me teary, because I it's so impactful. And I don't think people realize that the action is so much more meaningful sometimes and moving than the words. So with that, I want you to definitely go into it 23. I know you had a major, I want to say tragedy in the sense of the initial, you know, event. I know outside of that, you've made it into something extremely powerful and on the other side of that. So share that experience that happened at 23, if you would.
Yeah. I just can't agree with you more on what you were saying. There's more to that I want to share on here in just a second. You'll see how it fits in. Very dedicated to what God was calling me to do. You know, growing up, had that vision. I knew that someday God was going to allow me to speak on an international scale. And it was just starting to get to that place. So in early 2013, I was in Cuba doing mission work there for a couple weeks with hundreds of kids and training leaders over there, doing the juggling and comedy and sharing the message to the best of my ability. Thank God for translators. But I had a blast and it was just starting to really take off. And then it would be in May of 2013 that everything would just come to a complete stop. And literally, because what had happened is on May 31st, 2013, I woke up that day just like any morning. It was great. Showered, got ready for work, went to my church office. And for lunch that day, I had a meeting at a university. It was actually Vincennes, Indiana, which is maybe a 30-minute drive from my hometown, Princeton, Indiana. And I met over there with the directors. I was going to be doing a comedy and juggling performance the following weekend. And we had met, discussed everything. It went great. Driving back to my church office, I was stopped at a red light on the highway. And everything goes black. And to be honest, I don't even remember being stopped at the red light. I just remember driving and then bam, life as I know it just completely shuts down. Like I don't remember anything. And so everything that I share to this day is strictly from police reports, first responders, and the witnesses that were there that day. It was a Friday afternoon. And the police report actually said it was at 12:45, I believe, and stopped at this red light. What I am told is that I was rear-ended by a refrigerator box truck that did not stop. And there was actually a van in front of me. I was parked behind this van. And when the box truck hit my Dodge Durango, it kind of did like a little ripple effect where the person's van in front of me went to one side of the intersection. Mine was pushed through into an embankment. And on impact of the box truck hitting my Dodge, I mean, my car seriously burst into flames. And the sheriff's department took hundreds of photos. And for those that are curious, they can actually go online and they can see images of the wreck. And it really puts it in perspective. And it was interesting to see that I went through such a challenge. My chair's going down, go figure. It was interesting to see that I went through such a challenge. So when the first responders came to this scene, just by the looks of it, they said it's a fatality. They had already called the coroner and they was helping the individual out of the van that was in front of me. Fortunately, she was okay. I, on the other hand, was left for dead. And it wasn't until they saw my hand move that they changed their plans. And I believe with all my heart that that was God in that moment that took control. And I'm just super grateful and blessed to be here with you today, Amy, because anything that I get to do today, it's anything good that comes from my life. It isn't by me. It's truly by the grace of Almighty God. And, you know, I think there's such a parallel to this story because I think there's many people that find themselves at stoplights where life as they know it suddenly comes to a halt. Maybe that is a divorce, a death in the family. The list could go on, job loss. Everything changes and you find yourself trapped in a difficult circumstance. The heat of life takes over. And it seems as though that all hope is lost. There may be people that have given up on you. And maybe people say, well, there's no hope. There's no hope for you. But I am here today to tell everyone that there is hope. And for me in this situation, if it wasn't for God moving my hand, I don't believe I would be here today. And I know I wouldn't, because I've gotten to talk with many of the first responders after the fact. And they've all told me, they said, if we had not seen your hand move, you would have been burned alive. And so they saw my hand move and they changed their plans. They said I was talking to them. I don't remember none of this. It's amazing how the body works. I told them who I was, where I worked. They was able to get in contact with the church, and the church got in contact with my family. But I was in critical condition. It took them a good hour to get me out of this thing. They put me on a stretcher and they lifelighted me to a hospital in Evansville, Indiana, which is the southern part of the state. And then they said, you know, he's got severe burn injuries. We need to lifelight him to a burn unit. And so the only burn unit that had a bed open was Indianapolis. They just had one bed that had just opened up. So they lifelighted me there, and I was put into a coma on full life support for 3 weeks. Wow. And so, mind you, the last thing I remember is driving. Everything goes black. The next thing I do remember is those hospital monitors. Beep, beep, beep. Kind of coming to. And then I remember hearing my family. And more specifically, I talk about my mom. My mom was there and she told me everything that had happened, because I had no idea. I didn't know what was going down. This is different. All right. I'm laying down. I'm in a hospital bed. What's happening? So she begins to tell me, you know, Cody, you were hit by a box truck. Your vehicle exploded into flames. You have severe burn injuries on 40% of your body. And your recovery is not going to be an easy journey. But no matter what, Cody, don't lose sight of your vision. Your worldwide ministry, it has begun. And those words were powerful. And they still are to this day. And I think about how many people, they find themselves at stoplights, those moments where everything that they had planned suddenly, you know, gets out of whack and it's no longer what they had planned. Life is just a lot different than what I envisioned. It's important in those moments that we all have people to remind us to not lose sight of our vision. And as a speaker, you know, being on podcast shows, writing books, doing everything that I do, I'm simply in the reminder business to remind everybody, don't lose sight of what matters the most. Mm-hmm. Don't lose sight of your vision. So coming to, those were the words that I heard. But those are the words that still really stick to me to this day. But my journey, it was just beginning. But I'll pause there and let you say what you may want to say.
Well, I mean, that's just such an incredible, and the parallels, like you said, just to how, you know, people who haven't had that severe accident, but still have that same devastation, whatever is stopping us at that light, whatever is, you know, just shifting our life, a complete 180. For me, it was a couple of deaths. And then years later, it would be a cancer diagnosis. So it's just, you don't know, like you said, it's so unique to the individual, and it could be a divorce. It could be a job, and, you know, putting all of your identity in certain other areas and stuff. So I love that. One of the other things I wanted to ask you though, was because you were already on this mission, to kind of be this voice and light before the accident, how did that shift and change your message after the accident? Mm. Like what stood out for you that kind of made a difference, you know, because you seemed like at that point, even before the accident, where you kind of knew you wanted to be that light for others to see through your comedy and juggling and all of that, along with, you know, sharing the love of Christ and all of that. But then you have this accident, which is so, and I know what you're saying. I love that you say you're in the reminder business, because isn't that what we all are supposed to be in, really? You know, like that same thing with my podcast is the reminder business, that there's hope. You never want to lose hope and why we're here and our purpose. And so I just wonder how that shift was for you after the accident in your mission work.
Yeah. And that's really a good question to kind of shift focus here, because whenever I was up in the unit, so I'll kind of just tell everyone, it was a long journey to kind of get to where I, you know, was and where I am today. I was in the burn unit for a total of 2.5 months. I had, like I'd mentioned, I had, you know, severe burn injuries, 40% of my body. I've got scars on my arms, my legs, my lower back. A lot of my scars can be hidden, but there's also a message in that, because I believe that scars, they're both physical and they're also emotional. And there's a lot of people in today's world, they have a lot of hidden scars and they get very good at hiding them. But people have no idea the scars that they have and the scars that may still bother them to this day. And so we can dive into that here shortly. But in the burn unit, 2.5 months, and then I had to go to a rehab center for 6 weeks. I had to relearn to walk. I had to relearn to use my hands. I had many surgeries. And then I did another almost 1 to 2 years of, I was about 2 years of nonstop outpatient physical and occupational therapy, just to get to the place where I could be somewhat independent again. But the injuries were severe. I had also broken vertebrae, torn ligaments. I had a blood infection whenever I was in a coma. I mean, I had pneumonia. I had all kinds of things that happened to me. My family certainly has their side of the story. But whenever I was in in-state rehab, that's really where I kind of had this pivotal moment of like utilizing this as a new way to reach others. But before I could get to that place, I certainly had that question of why would God allow me to be burned and scarred? And because growing up in church, you know, you hear all the faith positive messages and you obviously, we know that troublesome times happen, but there is times in our lives. And for me as a young boy, you know, you understand that these things can happen, but then again, you're in the back of your mind and it sounds bad, but you're like, oh, that'll never happen to me. Mm. And there I was, you know, here I am. I'm trying everything I can to fulfill that plan that God has for me. I'm not perfect by any means. But to many people, they would say, oh, he's a good young man. He's trying to do things right. Why Cody? You know, why did I suddenly find myself scarred and mangled and deformed and hurt because of this driver's poor choice? And mind you, the driver of the truck that hit me, he was okay. Mm-hmm. He walked away. He was good. And so I had to live with the scars that this individual caused. And so there's a powerful story of forgiveness we can tap into if you would like later. But I had an amazing phone call with a great man of God, and I highly respect him and his ministry, Dave Reaver. He was in Vietnam, and he shares the story of how he was burned. He went to throw a hand grenade. A sniper shot the hand grenade, and it blew up all over his body. His face is scarred. He's got fingers amputated, and he battled with suicide after all this happened. He wondered the same thing. Why would God allow this to happen to him? And he shared with me the story of how he was on TV and a lady confronted him and she asked him, you know, she said, Dave, do you know why God allowed this to happen to you? And he said, Cody, he said, when she asked me that, he said, it made me so mad that she would ask me such a question like that on live television. But he said her statement changed everything. And she said, Dave, God did not do this to you. God doesn't do evil, but he allowed it to happen because he could trust you with the scars. He could trust you with the message, the testimony. And I look at my life in the same way. God entrusted this to me. So I had to understand that, gain that reality. Why would God allow this to happen to me? Make peace and know that God still has a plan and purpose for my life. Yes, my circumstance doesn't look the greatest. Yes, this was not part of the plan. Do I believe God did this to me? No. Do I believe God knew it was going to happen? Absolutely. But God also knew that if I put my faith and trust in him, that he would truly turn this around for my good. I love Romans 8:28. For we know in all things, God works together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And so I was in rehab. I got this garbage bag full of these get well cards from a bunch of kids I had spoken to in Oklahoma City. Mm. And all these cards, they said, get well, Pastor Cody, we're praying for you. And I thought to myself, What is the message I'm going to preach to these children? All these people were suddenly watching my response to this tragedy. My family had started up a Facebook page. Media had picked this up. And just like what we was talking about earlier, the greatest message we can preach isn't so much with our words, but it truly is with our actions. And we can talk a good talk when life is going great. But then when tragedy strikes and rubber hits the road, our faith, our message, everything that we're about is put to the test. These little kids were suddenly now watching me. What am I going to do? I'm going to pick myself back up with the help of Almighty God. With his help, this is going to turn around and it's going to be something beautiful. And so that was kind of a big pivotal moment for me. And since that time, things just shifted. And I'm like, I'm going to use this as a way to reach others.
Yeah. I love that. And I think that there is something to be said about, you know, obviously when God allows things that happen in our life, you know, we, as Christians, we know that sometimes it is hard to discern. You get caught up in that. Why me? And I totally understand that. I've also had that moment in life until I had to face it years later. Which we'll talk about at a completely different time, where you think, oh yes, I'm so sad for them, but that would never happen to me. And so all of that, I feel like is growing in your faith. It's becoming from that immature Christian of thinking that to some degree, we're all invincible if we have faith, until something actually does happen. And God's like, okay, well, what are we going to do with this now? Or what are you going to do with this now? And so I love the obedience part of stepping into that. So now it's here and now it's presented. Now he allowed it. And it's our job to have the obedience to follow through with it. And that's, I think, where we get those pivotal moments like you're describing, is once you kind of reconciled with that and understood it, that's, you know, but doing that was where you were becoming obedient. You were acknowledging that, okay, this isn't just for other people. This is for myself. And how am I going to use this for something greater than, you know, somebody looking, you know, on the outside can see. And so I just think your whole story and message and mission is just incredible all the way around. I want to touch also on scar release in the book and what you're hoping that a reader will gain from that. What are you looking for? I know you briefly touched on the forgiveness piece. Is that in there as well? Because I do think that when you are a part of something, you know, my firstborn son passed away at 4 months old. There is something to be said. My husband and I have said this for years about not being attached to that loss. I wasn't in a car accident where he passed away. And I'm saying that because the guy that hit you, that's a burden that people have to live with. And sometimes the burden is on you if you're hanging on to something you haven't forgiven. And so I'm just curious, do you tie into that at all into the book? Do you talk about any of that? Like, what is the book? What are you hoping that people get out of the book after they read Scar Release?
Yeah, absolutely. And forgiveness certainly is something that is, you know, discussed in the book, because I believe it's a huge part of the story. And I think with what I went through, the nature of it, you know, my scars and what I deal with today is something that I have to carry forever. And it's all because of what this person did. Sure. And I think there's many people in today's world that find themselves scarred by the poor choices of others, and they have a hard time forgiving. And at the same time, there's also individuals that have a hard time forgiving themselves, because maybe they themselves have caused their own scars. And so in the book, what I love discussing, and it's titled Scar Release, Breaking Free of Yesterday's Troubles. And scar release is actually named after a surgical procedure that they do on burn survivors. As a burn survivor, I have contracture scars. And when a contracture scar occurs over the top of a joint, it can limit the mobility of that joint. And I always use the illustration of my hands. So my hands were severely burned. They actually wanted to amputate 3 of my fingers. And I still have them. They don't move like they once did, but I've adapted. I can make the most of what I can do. However, those were my fingers. I always talk about my web spaces. And my web spaces have contracture scars, and those scars had contracted to the point where it was very difficult for me to just to hold onto a bottle of water to, you know, write my name, just simple things. And in order for me to have that scar freed up, I had to have a surgical procedure, scar release. And so what they do during that is they go in, they cut the scar at its root. It frees you up and it allows you to be mobile and move again. But a scar release procedure doesn't remove the appearance of a scar. It allows the mobility to move with the scar. And I like taking that and connecting it to everyone in life, because like I was saying earlier, scars, not only are they physical, but more so emotional. And emotional scars, they occur over different joints in our life. For many people, they go back as far as in their childhood. Maybe somebody hurt them in their childhood. And, or maybe it's in marriage, maybe somebody, even in the church, there's a lot of people in today's world, they find themselves upset with people, the church, because they were hurt by somebody, they were hurt by the pastor, they were hurt by so-and-so. And so they find themselves dealing with scars over different joints and areas of their life. And if those scars aren't properly dealt with, they can limit them in how they move and function. And so I like to encourage people with the book is find the root of the problem. What is it that is causing you to be immobile and to not function the way that you want to function in your life? And for some people, it may be unforgiveness. Maybe they really need to search and examine themselves. And a lot of people don't like to take the time to do that because we live in such a fast-paced society. Everyone wants to ignore the problem and try to, you know, medicate themselves in different ways. Maybe that's alcohol, drugs. The list could go on, but instead of doing the work, they seek out other things which aren't going to fix anything ultimately. So I encourage people, set with yourself. And for us as Christians, we can ask the Holy Spirit, God, what is the problem here? Search me, O God. Show me the hidden parts of my life. Reveal to me the broken areas, the areas that need to be addressed. And with your help, Jesus, heal me, restore me. And he will bring to light those areas, and you'll find that restoration and that true freedom. And mind you, you know, scars, they are permanent, but it's allowing, it's not allowing those scars to limit you in how you move and function. So like with me, I have my scars, I show them off proudly, and there's power when we go from embracing our scars to celebrating them, because they celebrate the fact that, you know, you're here, that you're alive, you have another day to live, and you've learned things through your difficulties. And those lessons, not only are they good for you, but they're good for others. And when you begin to see life in that way, it takes on a whole new meaning. And so breaking free of yesterday's troubles, taking whatever hurt, trauma that you've gone through, and using it not only for your good, but for the good of everyone.
Yeah, I love that. I love every time we can do something that we've gone through and a struggle and experience a hardship and pass whatever wisdom or knowledge that we have to the next person to hopefully relieve them, maybe just, or shorten the duration of their struggle time. That's what I always say. You know, if we can just even shave an hour off, right? I mean, it's worth it every time for that one person listening. Cody, I so appreciate you having you on. I literally could talk to you all day. I could really get all of my kids and have them talk to you all day too. Just because I think your message is so important. I have some young adults now into the world, and I love the fact that your range is from children all the way up to, you know, anyone at any age. I think the message is just something that everybody needs to really cling to, especially now. And one of the things before we close here, I noticed on your website that you have the Epic Life Game Plan. And so I wanted to just leave people today with some kind of resource in addition to grabbing a copy of your book, Scar Release. I know you have that, and I just wanted you to offer how other ways that people can connect with you and really find encouragement outside of this interview.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you for that. This, This has been wonderful. But to connect with me, they can go to my website, codybyrns.com, CodyByrns.com. Yes, it's very ironic that my last name is pronounced Burns, and here I am, a burn survivor. And I tell people all the time, well, I crack jokes. So mind you, you know, I did comedy and juggling, and I still do that today. And I do it in my message isn't like I'll speak for children. I'll do some kids events, but today it's more so it is young adults and adults, a lot of corporate events, colleges, and the list goes on, even correctional facilities. But I've learned to crack jokes. And so I always tell people I had one of those names I really had to live up to. And that is the case. And so, and I don't mind if people, you know, laugh at my condition, just don't make jokes because I hate to get roasted. And so that's, you know, it's a morbid sense of humor, but you learn to have fun with it. But the Epic Life Game Plan, this is something I make available to everyone that I speak to, a lot of corporate groups, and even those in the faith-based world. Mm-hmm. And the epic steps, EPIC is an acronym. And so the E stands for embrace challenges. Challenges always present themselves at one level or another. And so we have to embrace the challenge. And then we have the P, which is provide perspective. How can I reframe my pain? What are the lessons I can learn through this difficulty? And then we have the I, which is implement change, basically applying those lessons to our lives. And then we have the C, which is celebrate. And out of that celebration, we're serving others. And so this is a PDF I make available. It breaks down these steps. It kind of explains it. People can download that directly from my website, epiclifegameplan.com. They type their name, their email in there, and they can have it. It's my gift to all of them. If they would like to connect with me further, feel free to send me an email, info@codybyrns.com. I'm very active on social media, Instagram more so than any of them, but I do have LinkedIn and I have Facebook and Twitter as well. And I would just love to connect and be of encouragement to anyone and everyone.
Well, I appreciate that. And you've been an encouragement here for sure. And so I'm excited when this releases for the one person who really needs to hear it today, whether it has to do with a tragic situation or just life in general that they're struggling with, forgiveness. I mean, there was so much to unpack there. And I think you just do an amazing job and are doing amazing work. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Amy. It is my pleasure. And thank you for what you're doing and providing to the world today. And it is truly an honor to be here.
Well, that's it for us today, friends. If today's episode or any other episode has left you feeling encouraged and inspired, please consider rating, reviewing, or subscribing to Life on Purpose with Amy Debrick from your favorite listening platform. The mission, as always, of Life on Purpose is to meet you where you are, but not leave you there, and let you know that although fear is normal, courage gets the final say. See you next time.